Colossians chapter 3. We're only going to be looking at a few verses this evening. And just a reminder again for next Sunday, obviously the Ten Commandments have come to a close, thankfully. They've been a little bit heavy, more than challenging. But we're going to be looking at these two statements now, just bringing it all together. Loving the Lord your God, loving our neighbour and loving ourselves. And tonight is all to do with living and maintaining the Christian life. We're just going to be looking at a few verses in a moment. Just want to recap from last week. We looked at living the old and the new. Those that go after the flesh will mind the things of the flesh. Those who go after the spirit will mind the things of the spirit. Last week we looked at, we're not all there, or we weren't all there at one time. We had something missing, and I said, don't take that personal. But I think when we look back as a non-Christian, we have been made body, mind and spirit. It's just that our spirit were dead. And so now through Christ, our spirit has been made alive. So before, as a non-Christian, we were kind of not half-baked, maybe two-thirds. But now we're complete in Christ. And we looked at that too. We also looked at what does it mean to be a Christian. It means a Christian is someone who's died with Christ, who's buried with Christ, and who is raised to life in Christ. If you look at chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And then it talked about, and again, this is just a recap, it talked about keeping our minds above, keeping our hearts above. I think it actually mentions the mind first in verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you have died. And it talks about setting our hearts on things above. And we talked about the difference last week with the mind wanting to know. And the heart is all about passion. Loving the Lord with all of our mind. It's kind of very easy to do that, but sometimes we can lack in passion. That's why we can sometimes come over a little bit cold. If I said to Ruth, I loved Ruth with all my mind, I think she might get a little bit concerned. But when I say to Ruth, I love you with all my heart, that means I love her with all my passion, my enthusiasm, my life. I love her with everything that I am. So Paul here is saying, it's to love the Lord our God, or to set our intellect and our mind above, but also the heart, the passion, the enthusiasm. Now, I'm not talking here about being charismatic, Pentecostal. I don't do labels. I'm really looking at God's word. I'm really looking at kingdom, the kingdom culture, not our culture. We also looked at the matter of the will from verses 5 to 10, about being strong to be able to put things to death, not to kind of talk his way through things regarding things that Paul is instructing the church to actually kill, to put these things to death. In other words, it's to be ruthless sometimes with sin, the stuff within our life. That's why Paul talked about dying daily, and he also talked about reckoning ourselves as kind of being dead. And then we talked about two deaths, if you remember. Looked at verse 2, it says, for you have died. And then in verse 5, it says these words, putting things to death. So there's two deaths. And again, it's the just keeping the old man dead so that we can continue to live and be alive in Christ. Which brings us on then to these verses that we're going to be looking at. And it's just a few verses. We're going to start from verse 12. And we're going to be looking right through to verse 17. It says, so, tell you what, I'm just really conscious. Let's just pray. Lord, we pray that as your word and your spirit together ignites, we pray that, Lord, that you'd speak to us deep within. Father God, may we respond to you this evening, thanking you again that you are always with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Only a few verses, but there's such a lot in them verses. And looking at time, I'm just going to really crack on. Middle-aged businessman was going in the front of the entrance to his office, a building where he worked, and then a young feminist came up at the same time. And so he stepped back and he held the door open for her to pass through. And she looked at him and she said in a very stern voice, "Don't hold the door for me just because I'm a lady." And to her surprise, the man looked at her and said, "I'm not. I'm holding the door open because I'm a gentleman." I just want you to think about that. When I read this, I thought, wow, this is quite powerful. Our actions towards others are on the basis of what we are, not on the basis of who they are. But why do we do things? This is all to do with our identity in Christ. We do things because we belong to him. So culture and other people, they don't dictate that. We do that because we belong to him. I just love how he answered it. I'm holding the door open because I'm a gentleman. So we treat others how God treats you and I. Not culturally, and not how we used to do, maybe. How we are with each other, because this is all to do with enjoying God and enjoying each other in relationships. But how we are with each other often speaks how we are with God, and kind of vice versa. I think the most challenging thing in the Christian life is to maintain momentum. And even though God is at work in us, restore his image in us and his glory, there are times you and I feel frustrated, we feel unfulfilled. And I've been looking at Paul's letters, and it comes to this, and he says, maybe we need to rediscover Christ, who is our life. Now, that's one of those things that's riveted in me, rediscovering Christ, who is our life. We see a lot on the TV regarding the royal family and being born into a royal family. They're kind of set apart. They're important. As you and I are important, we are part of royalty. In other words, we're called to be different. We're not called to fit in. We're called to be totally different. And so this phrase, in Christ, or to be in Christ, means his life in us. His power in us, his purpose in us. And it means to live that dynamic life. That's what it means to be in Christ. But with that comes responsibility. Now, I don't know if you and I have ever got to that place. I'm sure we have. Once we know who we are in Christ, we usually come to that place where we say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Do you want me to stay? Do you want me to go? What do you want me to do?" And I think this is it. As we look at these verses, so those who have been chosen, in your Bible it might say the words elect. But I love and I prefer the word chosen. Remember at school when you were chosen for a team, and if you were really good, you'd be some picked out, and if you weren't so good, you'd be the last person to be picked. But as soon as you put a shirt on, something happens. So what I've done is I've just brought a shirt that, when I left chaplain of Bradford Bulls, they got me a shirt. We were world champions 4 times on the trot, and I've got the Dale on. Look at that. This is my Bradford Bulls shirt. Never been worn, Fergus, until you put it on. So could you come and just put this on, if you would? I was looking at someone who was as slim as me, and it'd fit. Yeah, if you would. Where's Myra? Have you got it? Wow, look at that. Yeah, somebody needs to take a picture and send it to his dad. And do his editing. If you just give us a bit of a twirl. Yeah, look at that. Thank you. No, you'd be... just, yeah, yeah. Dale, look back, it's up to you. You can. As soon as someone puts a shirt on like that, there's an identity. It belongs to something. And we're going to be just mentioning that a little bit later on, because it talks about putting on and putting off. But this beautiful word, being part of a team or being chosen, this is something really special. You and I, God chose. Even before you and I were born, God chose us. We kind of belong to him. So I've been looking at things and I've been writing things down. You see, God's word is weighty. I'm just beginning to develop a real love again for God and his word and his spirit. But it's weighty. And this is how weighty it is. It's more dynamic than therapy. It's more effective than psychiatry. It speaks into our lives. It heals our yesterdays and our past as well as today. God saw you and I before we were even born, even before mum and dad saw us. God called us. He chose us. God knows what's hidden in you. God knows what's released in what needs to be released in you. He knows where you and I maybe need a breakthrough. Listen to these words. Before I formed you, I knew you. Wow. He knew us even before we were formed. And he says that we're his. We are set apart. And we'll never fit in. We're made different. No weapon that is ever going to be formed against us will prosper. He wants us to move mightily. He's going to move mightily within us. Your fingerprint is different to anybody else's fingerprint. He knows how many hairs are upon your head. He knows that the enemy is afraid when he sees you praying. The enemy doesn't want you to have faith or confidence or to be alive in God, especially when you and I know who we are in Christ. We're created to win. We're created to overcome. Why? Because we are chosen. You and I are chosen of God. We belong to him. To put things on. Let's just look at a few of these verses. Verse 12. We are chosen of God, holy and beloved. So put on a heart of compassion. When Fergus put that shirt on, it's not just any old shirt. This was a shirt to mark off that we were world champions four times. There were an identity within that shirt. It said something. And when you and I put something on, it is visible. That shirt was visible. So all these things regarding our relationships, the things that it talks about here, are visible. God is visible within us. Holy and beloved, it says, that we are loved by God. God predestined us. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In other words, he looked at us in our sin. He looked at Jesus and the cross. And then that salvation plan, he predestined us. He chose us. And I want you to think about this. No Jesus, no cross, no possible. We won't be here. I don't know where we'd be, but we won't be here. That's why church is so precious. We belong to him. We've been chosen by him to do life together, to glorify him, to work with him. Not everyone has been adopted by God. Yeah, we've been made in God's image. But at one time it says that we were classed as enemies. And then I believe that this is what God says. Through the beauty of the cross, these enemies are going to be mine. I have called them. I have chosen them. I love them. These dirty, separated rebels adopted by God. And he calls us loved or beloved I think, in verse 12. Holy and beloved. God's got incredible affection towards you and I. How does he show that? What does that look like? It's usually through each other. How do you and I show love? I was brought up in a place where you didn't do handshakes. You didn't. Within our family, we were loving, but the culture dictated and dominated. There were things that you just didn't do. But now his culture, kingdom culture, and especially with church, God moves within his body. How do we show love towards each other? I think that's a really fascinating thing. How do we do that? And so this is the kingdom that rules in us. To put on, there's two sides to this. Okay, let me just demonstrate it. I love to be visual. And this is one way of doing it. This is my new coat that Ruth bought me. But it's a bit chilly today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my coat on. And I'm going to zip up. Because where I feel cold, after 5 minutes, I am going to be warm. Wait to send this back, by the way, because it was an XL. Thanks, Ruth. But now it's just an L. It's a large. Anyway, now I'm warming up. So when you and I, in other words, when you and I put on, and this is what Paul is asking the church to do, this is how God is speaking to us. When we put things on, it changes something on the inside. The temperature changes. But you and I have to learn to take things off and to put things on. This is a motto. It says, if you change your coat, the temperature changes on the inside. So something has to go off, and then something else has to be put on. And where I've been cold now, things begin to change on the inside. But look at these beautiful things. Compassion. In other words, I really care for you. Kindness. It's not about me. It's about you. Humility. This is kingdom down, not culture up. Meekness, gentleness, this is power under control or strength under direction. Patience. And all these are to do with people. All these are to do with relationships. And again, usually how we are with God is how we are with each other. And it's enjoying our relationships. We've just been reading, if anyone has a complaint against another, wow. It says, put on love. And then it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And again, keep relationships in mind. Always aim for peace. Again, this is kingdom, this is Bible, this is spirit. God's peace, that's when it rules, it's then God's peace that judges and God's peace that decides. Always aim for peace. Sometimes I've known people who have fallen out over a one word in the Bible and they've never talked for years. They've even crossed the street instead of kind of facing each other. It's been really, really sad. And here Paul is saying, regarding the relationships, let the peace of God rule in your life. In other words, value people, bless people. You know, I'd rather sit and pray with you instead of argue. Let the peace of God rule. And this is where the old man sometimes rises up and begins to spoil things. And it's to keep that old man dead and to just remain alive in Christ and letting his spirit and his word kind of do its job within us. Listen to Jesus. This peace that I give you isn't like any other peace. You can't get this peace from anywhere else. It's only the peace that I give you. Let the peace of God rule. Let it become a referee within our hearts, within our lives. Then it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, not just stuck between the lugs, as I call it, not just like just remembering, but let it be part of us. Let the word of Christ be part of our life. God, I want you to mold me. I want you to speak to me. I want to learn how to live what you're telling me. Let it dwell within you. So I'm always fascinated with words. And the word dwell in you hints of the Shekinah presence of God in the tabernacle. I think this is really special. Let the words of Christ dwell within you. That Shekinah glory in the tabernacle has got a kind of a sense of that within you and I when you and I live and we let God's word dwell in us. It becomes part of us. And then he talks about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, kind of uplifting one another, being creative, being spontaneous in worship. And there's a variety here. It's not just psalms, but there's hymns and also spiritual songs. What does this look like? Because it talks about singing. If you look at the verse, like the word of Christ, verse 16, dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then it says singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, I think there's a difference here, just like the heart and mind. I think there's a difference in singing, and then I think there's a difference in singing with thankfulness. Why? Because it's from the heart. There's got to be a difference in just singing and singing with thankfulness. What does that look like? What is the difference in just singing and singing with thankfulness in your heart? It's got to bubble out somewhere. Because it's not just the mind, it's the heart that's involved. And all these things that we have just read in these few verses are seen. They are known. There is evidence of God within you and I. And then you look at these three verses. I'm just going to close with this. Look at verse 15. Look at the last bit. And be thankful. Verse 16. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, giving thanks. Thankfulness is a big thing for us. We have got so much to be thankful for. And it is so easy, whether it's culture or whether it's just us and that old kind of person that we used to be negative and moaning and groaning, because that will stop us from being grateful. And it'll stop us from being thankful. All we need to do is just sit and just think about God, think about what he's done, think about what he means to us, think about what he's doing, and that's just a little tiny bit. Wow, you and I have got so much to be thankful for. So much. And you'll often find this in the letters of Paul. But it's interesting of putting on. Sometimes other things have to be put off. Time's gone. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us. And we've just read your word and it's just slipped by like any other word. We know that yours is a living word. It's a powerful word. We know that your word's got its own authority because you're behind it by your spirit. And we just want hearts to receive, Lord, of you. We want to be able to take this in so it becomes part of us. Help us to put off, if we need to, the old stuff and to put on the new. Thank you again, Father, for being patient with us. Thank you that you love us and you call us to be like you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your peace. And we pray that, Lord, just very simply tonight, that you would help us to be obedient to you. Why, Lord? Because we love you. And we want you, Lord, just to continue to reshape us, help us to rediscover you, your presence and your power and your glory. We just want to say thank you again for your word and for speaking to us, Lord. We thank you for each other. We thank you for your church. Help us to be people who are filled with constant gratitude and thanksgiving to our God who is good. We bless you in Jesus' name, Father. Amen.